All right, get ready, because today we're going deep into a real estate case that really shook things up in Texas law. Austin Hill Country Realty v. Palisades Plaza. Imagine this. You're a landlord, you've got a new tenant lined up, and suddenly they back out of the lease before they even move in.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. So the question is, can you just sit back and sue them for the full amount, or do you have to actually try and find someone else to fill that space?
Right.
That's the big issue in this case. And the answer, well, it totally changed the game for landlords and tenants all across Texas.
It really did, and it all boils down to this idea of mitigation of damages, which basically means taking steps to minimize your losses when someone breaks a contract.
Okay, so like damage control.
Exactly. Before this case, Texas law basically sided with landlords, saying they didn't have to lift a finger to find a new tenant.
Really?
Yeah, but this case kind of flipped the script, bringing Texas more in line with how most other states handle this issue. It gave tenants a really powerful tool to fight back.
So let's break down what actually happened in this case that led to such a dramatic change.
Okay, so picture this. It's 1992, and Palisades Plaza is ready to lease some office space to Austin Hill Country Realty. This was a real estate brokerage run by, get this, not one, not two, but three agents. Barbara Hill, Annette Smith, and David Jones.
Three agents. Although that sounds like trouble waiting to happen.
You got it. These agents, they just couldn't agree on the final details for the space. They were sending all kinds of conflicting instructions to Palisades about the design.
I can only imagine like three people arguing over paint colors and carpet samples.
Yeah, imagine being the landlord in that situation, a total nightmare. So Palisades understandably got fed up with this whole back and forth and sensed that the deal was falling apart.
Yeah, I'd be worried too.
So they declared the tenant in anticipatory breach.
Anticipatory breach.
Yeah, basically they were saying, we're calling this off before it even starts, because they could see that these agents were never going to get their act together.
So they're like, we're breaking up with you before this even gets serious.
Exactly. And of course, Palisades, feeling pretty burned, sued Austin Hill Country Realty for all the unpaid rent. Initially, the jury actually sided with Palisades, awarding them a pretty big chunk of money in damages. It seemed like a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what's the twist?
Well, the tenants, they argue that Palisades hadn't even tried to find someone else to rent the space.
They just left it empty.
Yeah, and the tenants claimed that Palisades actually had a duty to mitigate damages, meaning they should have taken steps to minimize their losses, like trying to find a new tenant.
So before this case, Texas landlords could just let a place sit empty and still collect rent from the tenant who broke the lease.
That's what the tenants were saying, and the Texas Supreme Court ended up agreeing with them. This is a huge victory for tenants and a major shift in Texas law.
Wow, that's a big deal. Why such a dramatic change?
Well, there were a few key reasons. First, the court emphasized that leases are contracts. They're not just about property ownership. They're agreements with responsibilities on both sides.
Okay, so it's a two-way street.
Exactly. And in contract law, if one side breaks a promise, the other side can't just ignore the problem and watch the losses pile up. They have to take reasonable steps to minimize the damage.
That seems fair.
Right. So the court applied that same logic to this case, saying Palisades should have at least tried to find a new tenant.
Instead of just leaving it empty and hoping for the best?
Right. And they also got up some interesting public policy points. They argued that it's just not good for the economy to have a valuable property sitting empty. It's a waste.
Like leaving money on the table.
Exactly. Plus, they pointed out that most other states already had laws requiring landlords to mitigate damages. Texas was actually kind of behind the times on this one.
So they were playing catch up.
In a way, yeah. Their decision really aligned Texas with the majority of other states on this issue.
So they looked at legal principles, economic efficiency, and what other states were doing.
They did. And their decision had a massive impact on how leases are handled in Texas today.
Okay, so with this duty to mitigate, do landlords have to, like, bend over backwards to find a new tenant?
That's a good question. The court was clear that landlords don't have to do the impossible, just make reasonable efforts. Things like advertising the space, showing it to potential tenants, you know, acting in good faith.
Reasonable efforts. There's some wiggle room there. What exactly counts as reasonable?
That's a great question, and it really depends on the specific situation. But the key takeaway here is that it's the tenant who has to prove the landlord wasn't making those reasonable efforts.
So it's not enough for a tenant to just say, hey, you didn't try hard enough. they need to back it up with evidence.
Exactly. They need proof. And this puts a lot of emphasis on documentation, both for landlords to protect themselves and for tenants to build their case if they need to.
So landlords should be keeping detailed records, and tenants should be paying close attention to what their landlord is doing or not doing.
Absolutely. But there's another wrinkle here. The court also said that landlords and tenants can agree to waive this duty to mitigate in their lease agreement.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll likely see clauses that say landlord has no duty to mitigate popping up in leases because of this case.
So landlords can protect themselves.
Yeah.
And tenants need to read their leases carefully. This legal tug of war just got a whole lot more interesting.
It really did. And to think, it all started because three real estate agents couldn't agree on paint colors. Who knew such a seemingly mundane dispute could lead to such a significant shift in Texas law?
It's a great example of how individual disputes can have far-reaching consequences. But before we jump into the legal nitty-gritty of the court's decision, I think it's worth taking a moment to appreciate just how much this case impacted how leases are handled in Texas today. What are some details that really highlight this shift?
I think one of the most remarkable things is how this case changed the balance of power between landlords and tenants in Texas. Before this, tenants were often at a disadvantage when it came to breaking leases, especially if they had to break a lease early because of unexpected circumstances.
So this leveled the playing field a bit.
Exactly. By requiring landlords to mitigate damages, the court shifted some responsibility onto them. They can't just sit back and collect rent while a property sits empty. They have to make a reasonable effort to find a new tenant.
That makes sense, and it raises an interesting question. If this applies to commercial leases, what about residential leases? It seems like the same principles of fairness and economic efficiency would apply to apartments and rental homes, right?
That's a fantastic question, and one that sparked a lot of discussion and debate in legal circles. It's a complex issue with some interesting potential implications. We'll dig into that more in the next part of our deep dive.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. Can't wait. But first, let's take a closer look at the court's reasoning in Austin Hill Country Realty v. Palisades Plaza. We'll unpack their arguments and understand how they reached such a groundbreaking conclusion.
Sounds good. We're going to really dissect the legal heart of this case. Welcome back to our deep dive into Austin Hill Country Realty v. Palisades Plaza, where we're really getting into the legal arguments that led to this huge shift in Texas law.
We were just talking about how this case created a duty for landlords to mitigate damages, you know, to actually try and find a new tenant after someone breaks their lease.
Right.
But what I'm curious about is, what did the court actually say about why they made this change? It seems like a pretty big deal.
Oh, it was a big deal for sure. And the court didn't just make this decision lightly. They really thought it through, looking at existing laws, public policy, even how other states were handling this kind of situation. One of their main points was that leases are, at their core, contracts.
Okay, so it's not just about owning a property, it's an agreement with responsibilities on both sides.
Exactly. It's like a two-way street. And in contract law, there's this well-established principle that if one party breaks their promise, the other party can't just sit there and let the damages pile up. They have to make a reasonable effort to, you know, make things right.
So they can't just ignore the problem and expect to be compensated for every little thing.
Right. They have to try to minimize the damage. And the court applied that same logic to this case, saying that if a tenant breaks a lease, the landlord can't just do nothing and expect to collect rent for the entire lease term. They have a duty to at least try to find a new tenant.
It's like that old saying, don't cry over spilled milk. You clean it up, you don't just leave it there.
Exactly. And the court even quoted a legal scholar who called this rule requiring mitigation of damages a rule of fairness. They basically said it wouldn't be fair to let landlords just benefit from a tenant's mistake without even trying to find a replacement.
Fairness, that's a pretty strong argument.
Mm.
So besides fairness, were there other reasons the court considered?
Oh, yeah. They also talked about this idea of economic waste. You know, like it's just bad for the economy if valuable property is just sitting there unused.
Right. It's a waste of resources.
Exactly. It's like having a perfectly good car just sitting in the garage, collecting dust when you could be driving it around, getting some use out of it. And remember, this case was decided back in 1995. The Texas economy was booming, so the court's focus on economic efficiency, you know, not letting things go to waste, really resonated at the time.
So they were thinking about the big picture, not just this one case.
Absolutely. And there's one more thing they considered, which is that over 30 other states already had laws requiring landlords to mitigate damages. So Texas was actually kind of lagging behind.
So they were catching up to what everyone else was already doing.
Exactly. The court even mentioned that their ruling was bringing Texas more in line with the majority of other states, which, you know, makes things more consistent across the country.
So they looked at legal principles, fairness, economic impact, and what other states were doing. Seems like they had a pretty solid basis for their decision.
They did. And this decision has had a huge impact on how leases are handled in Texas today. But going back to the specifics of the case, the court said landlords have to make reasonable efforts to mitigate damages. What does that even mean? Did they actually define that?
That's what I'm wondering. Reasonable efforts. Seems pretty open to interpretation.
Well, you're right. There's no, like, one-size-fits-all definition. The court didn't want to be too specific because, you know, every situation is different.
So it's more about the spirit of the law than some rigid set of rules.
Exactly. It's about acting in good faith, you know, doing what a reasonable person would do in that situation to find a new tenant.
Okay. So what are some examples of reasonable efforts?
Well, we talked about advertising, right? Like
yeah.
Listing the property with a broker, putting ads online, even just a simple for lease sign.
Right. That makes sense. But what about actually showing the property to potential tenants?
That's definitely part of it, too. Landlords should be responsive to inquiries, schedule showings quickly, just make it easy for people to see the place.
So they can't just post an ad and call it a day.
Right. The court was very clear that landlords need to be proactive. It's not just the tenant's responsibility to find a replacement. It's a shared responsibility.
This really changes how we usually think about landlords and tenants. It's not just about collecting rent anymore. It's about actively managing the property and minimizing losses when things don't go as planned.
You got it. This case really reflects that change in thinking, you know, seeing leases as more dynamic agreements rather than just static documents.
So the law is keeping up with the times.
It is, and it's always adapting. But before we go too far down that road, let's get back to this idea of burden of proof. We talked about how it's up to the tenant to prove that the landlord wasn't making those reasonable efforts. What kind of proof would a tenant need to gather?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. What would count as evidence in this situation?
Okay, so let's imagine you're a tenant, you've had to break your lease, and you're worried that your landlord isn't really trying to find a new tenant. What kind of evidence would you need to prove that?
I guess I'd start by looking at how they're advertising the property. Are they using websites, or are they just sticking a handwritten sign in the window?
Exactly. And are they even responding to inquiries? If potential renters are reaching out and the landlord is ignoring them, that's a red flag.
So I could take screenshots of emails they didn't answer or keep track of phone calls where they never called me back. That would be good evidence, right?
Absolutely. And if you know there are other empty units in the same building that are being advertised more heavily, that could also be helpful.
So tenants have to do their homework.
They do. And it really highlights how important communication and documentation are. Tenants should keep track of all their interactions with the landlord just in case something like this happens.
This is all really helpful, but before we move on, can we go back to the opt-out clause? You mentioned that landlords and tenants can agree to waive this duty to mitigate in their lease. What does that actually mean?
Basically, if the lease specifically says the landlord doesn't have a duty to mitigate, then the tenant might be on the hook for the entire lease term, even if the landlord isn't trying to find a new renter.
So tenants really need to read their leases carefully.
Absolutely. Having a lawyer look over the lease is always a good idea, too.
It sounds like knowledge is power when it comes to legal matters.
Couldn't agree more. Knowing your rights and responsibilities is essential. We've covered a lot of ground here, from the details of the case to the bigger picture of landlord-tenant law in Texas. But there's one big question we haven't tackled yet. Does this duty to mitigate, which was decided in a commercial case, apply to residential leases as well?
That's the question that's been on my mind this whole time. It seems like the same logic should apply.
It's a great question, and one that has sparked a lot of debate. We'll explore that in depth in the final part of our deep dive.
All right, so we've gone through all the twists and turns of Austin Hill Country Realty v. Palisades Plaza, this case that totally changed the game for commercial leases in Texas.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
Landlords now have this duty to try and find new tenants if someone breaks their lease. And we've talked about what that means for both sides.
Right. We've seen how this shifted the balance of power, how landlords have to be more proactive now.
And how important it is for everyone to keep good records.
Definitely. Documentation is key. But now we come to the big question. This case was all about commercial leases, you know, office spaces.
Right.
What about all the people renting apartments and houses? Does this rule apply to them too?
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering this whole time. It seems like the same logic should apply. We're talking about fairness, preventing waste, making sure landlords actually try to rent out empty properties, whether it's a business or someone's home.
You're absolutely right. And that's exactly the debate that's been going on in the legal world ever since this ruling came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people argue that the principles behind Austin Hill, Country Realty, you know, fairness, efficiency, all that, those should apply to everyone. They say residential leases should be treated the same way.
So let's say I'm renting an apartment and I suddenly have to move to another city for work. Under this logic, my landlord couldn't just let that apartment sit empty and demand I pay rent for the rest of the year.
Right. They'd have to at least try to find someone else to move in.
Which makes sense. It protects tenants from getting stuck with a huge bill when things go wrong.
Exactly. And it keeps those apartments and houses in circulation, which is good for everyone. But, of course, there's another side to this argument.
Oh, I bet there is. I'm sure landlords aren't too happy about having even more responsibility.
Well, that's the thing. Some people argue that residential leases are just different. A lot of landlords who rent out apartments or houses are smaller operations, not big management companies.
So for them, it could be a real pain to constantly be advertising, screening tenants, dealing with all that turnover.
Exactly. It can be a logistical and financial nightmare for some landlords. And there's also the concern that this rule could make landlords more hesitant to rent to certain people, like families with lower incomes or people with not so great credit scores.
Because they might be worried about having to find a new tenant quickly.
Right. They might be more picky about who they rent to. So it's a tough situation, trying to balance protecting tenants with making sure landlords don't just stop renting altogether.
It's a classic legal dilemma. Lots of valid points on both sides.
Exactly. And to make things even more complicated, the Texas Supreme Court didn't actually say whether this duty to mitigate applies to residential leases. They kind of left it open to interpretation.
So it's a legal cliffhanger. Has this been tested in court? Have any judges weighed in on how this applies to apartments and houses?
There have been a few cases that have touched on this, but there hasn't been a definitive ruling in Texas that clearly says yes or no. It's still a bit of a gray area, which means
more legal battles,
yeah,
more arguments, more cases for us to deep dive into.
Exactly. And it just shows that the law is always changing. Cases like Austin Hill Country Realty give us a starting point, but they don't always have all the answers. It's up to judges, lawyers, even us podcasters to figure out how to apply these legal principles to real world situations.
That's what makes it so interesting, right? It's not just about memorizing rules. It's about understanding how those rules affect people's lives. So even though we don't have a clear answer about residential leases, what are some key takeaways for our listeners, especially those involved in real estate in Texas?
Well, for landlords, whether you're renting out offices or apartments, the message is clear. Be proactive. Keep good records. Even if you're not legally required to try and find a new tenant, it's always a good idea to show you made an effort. It will help you in the long run.
And for tenants, the biggest takeaway is to be informed. Read your lease carefully, especially those parts about mitigating damages. Make sure you understand what you're agreeing to and what your rights are. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to legal matters.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This deep dive has shown us how a seemingly simple dispute about office decor turned into a landmark case that changed the way business is done and how people live. And it reminds us that the law is constantly evolving and adapting to new situations.
Austin Hill Country Realty v. Palisades Plaza. A case that started with disagreements over paint colors and ended up changing the legal landscape in Texas. It just goes to show that even the smallest disputes can have huge ripple effects. And that's why we love exploring these fascinating legal stories.
Absolutely. That's what makes it so exciting. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp, stay curious, and we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a case that will make you think twice about your own lease agreement.